It's the Raven and the Blues on Talk Radio Europe on the coast of Spain, on Radio Napa on the coast of Cyprus, on Kansas City Online Radio out of Kansas and Radio Belgrade, podcast across the world. The sounds of Chicago come to the River Thames, and it gives me a great pleasure to welcome Wayne Baker Brooks to the Raven and the Blues. Good to have you here, Wayne.
Thank you.
Some of us kind of are preordained in our lives of the jobs we kind of have to do, but, and in your case, in a sense, it was always going to be a bit preordained. You'd be going to the music business, wasn't it?
Well, I used to help my dad write songs when I was about 6 years old, playing drums on the pots and pans with knives and spoons. Mm-hmm. And my brother Ronnie would play the bass line on the guitar. And my dad would sit there and like come up with words. He'd tell us to, you know, stay with that groove right there. And he would come up with lyrics, and Ronnie and I would, you know, throw in some lyrics that he thought would, you know, would fit. Mm-hmm. And so that was my first experience as my first songwriting class. So when I think about it in retrospect, so Yeah, he also used to put headphones on my mom's stomach when we were in my mom's womb and everything. So, you know, he would be playing Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, Chuck Berry.
So even before you were born, you heard the sounds of the blues.
Yes, yeah, yes.
I mean, did he ever say to you, you know, I don't want you to go down this route, Wayne, or was he more than happy for you to go in the business and follow him?
He didn't want us to play. Well, he didn't want me to play. He wanted me to become a doctor or lawyer or mm-hmm. something like that. But it was in me. I couldn't, you know, just like John Lee say, it's in them and they got to come out of them.
Okay, you started with a band as a roadie and then gradually sort of picked up the guitar and went from there, I guess.
Yeah, I roadied for my dad as soon as I got out of high school and roadied for him for 10 years before I started playing professionally in his band.
Was that easy? Because I just can sort of envisage a situation whereby if your roadie's your son, it could get a bit messy sometimes.
Well, you know, he felt comfortable that he had someone really taking care of him.
That's
and not
true,
just,
yeah.
you know, making money off of him. So, he was also more hard on us than any of the musicians yeah. or roadies he ever had, you
yes.
know, because we're his son and we got to, you know, keep the legacy going mm-hmm. and do it the right way. So he was, you know, one mistake, you know, he was like, all right, I'm going to fire you, boy. You better cool it.
And so we come forward to your first solo album, which is, what, eight or 9 years ago now, I guess?
Yeah, 2004 was the national release in mm-hmm. the United States of Mystery.
Mm-hmm. And why was that longish gap before that sort of cutting your teeth and earning your stripes kind of stuff and then making your first album? Was it sort of just a rite of passage in a way?
Well, for a long period of time, I taught myself, believe it or not, you know, with two great guitar players in the family. You know, I never asked them to show me anything. I wanted to know that I had it myself. And possibly, you know, because I would hear my dad tell my brother all the time, man, you got to come up with your own style. You can't be doing Stevie Ray Vaughan all day and every day. And I would hear that, you know, while I was learning. So that made me not want to try to play like anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to learn and try to get it on my own. So,
but it can't have been easy, though. I mean, with a guitarist as great as your father and also with Ronnie, too. I mean, finding a gap in the market can't be easy, in a sense.
I know, right? You know, and people always look and say, oh, they got it easy. They're Lonnie Brooks' sons and stuff like that. It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't ask, you know, God to say, hey, can I be Lonnie Brooks' son? You know, it just... you know, happened that way. And we all love music. So we followed in his footsteps. And, you know, a lot of people think we have it easy, but it's not, because he's more hard on us. And to have a crowd that comes to see you because you're Lonnie Brooks' son, you still have to keep them there. You have to do your job and make them like you in order for them to like you.
I can see that happening back in the early days, but now, I mean, that's long since gone, isn't it? They're coming to see you now.
Yeah, of course. And not only that, I'm turning them on to my dad now. So
yes, of course.
It, you know, goes both ways.
If you want to go back to the roots, just listen to what my dad did.
My dad and Coco, you know, was real good friends of ours, and Luther Allison and Buddy Guy and Junior Wells. So, you know, I get a chance to let them know where I got this from, you know, where I learned a lot from, you know, a lot of the legends, you know, just talking with them. And Junior showed me Messing with the Kid. You know, he don't play guitar, but he showed me how to do it, you know, so, you know, that type of stuff.
Well, come to why you're here in UK at this point in time after your next album. What are you going to do for us next?
You want to try a new single that I released back in June called I Can Read Your Mind.
Not a truth, and I've been told, I think.
Wayne Baker Brooks playing live on the Houseboat on the Thames for the Raven and the Blues, with Matt Taylor on guitar and Steve Rushton on, I was going to say drums, but basically it's a drum behind. And that's, you say that's a new single, is it?
Yes, Read Your Mind off of my label, Blues Island Records. Mm-hmm. You can find it on my website, waynebakerbrooks.com. You can also go to iTunes and Amazon and Google Play.
All usual places, yes.
All the usual suspects.
And is that going to be on the new album?
Yes, it's part of the EP that's out right now.
Ah, right.
Tricks Up My Sleeve EP.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that came out July.
Right.
And I'm promoting it right now.
Mm. Yeah. Now, you've just come from a festival in Ireland. Was that good?
Yes, the Monaghan. Yeah. In Monaghan town. Yeah.
Blessed with good weather, weren't you?
Yes, it was awesome.
It can rain and rain and rain there. So, yeah.
Well, we were under a tent anyway, so if it rains, we're good.
It's
about 1,200 people, 1,300 people out there grooving to my tunes.
And it was a good lineup as well, wasn't it? There were some good people on with you.
Yeah, Larry McRae, which I saw here in London Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday night.
Yeah.
And he was on the fest. Tommy Castro was on the fest.
Mm-hmm.
Chris O'Leary went on right before me. My buddy Marquis Knox.
Yes.
Played along with Terry Bean Evans and Lazy Lester.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a great lineup, man. Yeah. It was like being at home almost.
Then, having left Ireland, you didn't head straight back home to the States, but you came here to the UK. What, to set up a new tour, isn't it, really, to kind of plan it?
Yeah, meetings with folks here. This is my first time here in England, so I feel like I need to move here now. You know, I love it so much.
Listen, you've come at a very strange time, let me tell you. It's not normally like this. We've had some pretty good weather. Everybody's in a hell of a good mood because of the Olympics and all the rest of it, you know. And it's so basically, you come next year, we'll all be miserable as sin.
I think I came at the perfect time.
Yeah, you did, without a doubt, yes. You surprised me. So you say you haven't been to the UK. You've not had a tour here.
Man, I've been to before Ireland and England. I've been to 36 countries. I've never been to Ireland or England, so that makes it 37 and 38.
Right. Okay.
All over the world, all over the globe.
Mm. And so hopefully the tour will, what, come later on this year or next, or is it, how far ahead are you looking?
We're looking possibly February of 2013, but I'll be back in November to do some promo.
Yeah. And I mean, you've got Matt on your right-hand side with his own band.
Fabulous, fabulous musician.
I know, he's had a good year. You were up for an award, weren't you, Matt? Weren't you the one to
multiply? We were nearly up for an award.
How can you be nearly up?
A couple of our songs were kind of in the first stages of nomination for the the Kevin Thorpe Award, I believe, the Best Song Award.
But yeah.
They didn't get shortlisted.
Mm. Because you've got a new album as well. When you come across, when the tour starts, are you going to bring a band, or are you going to pick it up here as you've done, kind of done here?
Yeah,
now?
The same fellows, the same gents, the same blokes. they're fabulous, man. I wouldn't want anybody else.
It's amazing. You've had a quick rehearsal here, but literally not much of a rehearsal. And presumably, have you had a chance to play much together in the last couple of days while you've been here? Or?
Yes, we rehearsed Friday. We played Saturday. We almost did like a full set at soundcheck. The people that were working, preparing for the fest were clapping and So it was like, yeah. Yeah.
I see. So Steve and Matt, you've been touring with Wayne on in Ireland and things as well, have you? And then I also saw from one of my Facebook buddies, you were on stage with Todd Sharpville as well a couple of nights ago.
Yes, yeah. Todd. Yeah, Todd is a good friend of mine. Stayed at his place Wednesday night, and we, just jammed out in his living room and went out to go see Larry, because the first time I met Todd was at the Chicago Blues Fest.
Right.
At Larry's gig, and Larry called us both up there. So that was my first time meeting Todd, and I thought it would be appropriate to go see Larry since he's in town.
Yes.
My first time in England, it was like we're all together again.
Excellent. Okay, what are you going to do for us next?
From my 4-star CD, Mystery, It Don't Work Like That. My dad was on this song, but of course he's not here. So we're going to try it anyway.
Thank you.
Don't work like that. Do you, does writing come easy to you, or is it a struggle?
It comes very easy. I dream songs, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. I dream them, and in my dream, I say, I better not forget these lyrics. I wake up.
Pencil and paper by the bedside, have you?
Yep. Yeah. And I write down the lyrics, and I remember the music, and I put it, you know, go in the studio and record them. And
Do you find that that comes wherever you are, whether it's on the road or whatever, or when you're traveling, does that change?
Inspiration comes from everything, a part of my life. So, you know, I can be in conversation with someone and be thinking, man, that'd be a great song, you know, and, you know, keep listening, you know, to think of lyrics and. Every aspect of my life, I'm always looking for something, you know, to write about.
Yeah.
To make it true as possible, you know. So, I love writing. I think that's my strongest point. And
has it changed much over the years as you've gained or grown older or become, you know, whatever, more experienced and things? I mean, has your writing changed dramatically, do you think? Or?
Not really, because I always like to write about real life stuff. So that will never change, but the subject may change.
Yeah. Right. But in terms of the, I mean, is there stuff that you write and think, actually, well, that kind of doesn't work for me? Ideas and inspirations that come that just don't work? Because, I know I've spoken to some people who say that actually the creative art can be a real yoke on your shoulders, in a sense, because sometimes you come up with ideas and but they're the wrong ideas for you, if you see what I mean.
Yeah. Well, I always look at songs as a blessing. You know, straight from God, and I truly know why I'm here. And whenever I sit down and write a song, I know that's a blessing. So, I in the back of my head, I'm thinking, man, if someone, you know, huge could, like, you know, just do one of my songs, that'd be great, you know. But I've never sat down to, like, you know, write for someone. Yeah. Or end up thinking, you know, yeah, this doesn't fit me, because most of the songs I write is about what I go through. So
I think in some ways, trying to sit down and think, I'm going to write for somebody special, you know, it often you actually sort of, you're bastardizing your art in a sense, because you're aiming it at somebody else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, people make a living doing that.
And, that's very true.
But, you know, whenever, you know, sometimes it takes 5 minutes for me to write a song. Sometimes it'll take forever. You know, I'm still writing songs from five years ago. Like, you know, I just need that one thing. And then sometimes I'll get with my buddy Bruce McCabe, who is an accomplished songwriter who actually sold millions with Johnny Lang and Susan and, you know, all the real big stars in the blues. You know, he and I would get together. You know, that's who I feel most comfortable with writing songs, him and my producer, Jeff Jacobs. So, you know, we'll, you know, just talk about life and talk about what we're going through and, you know, put it into words that'll fit a 3-minute story, you know.
Excellent. Yeah. Your website's current and up to date, and that will also hopefully show when you're coming back to the UK in a month or so's time, I guess.
Yes. WayneBakerBrooks.com. And, Tricks Up My Sleeve EP has a website as well, which is tricksupmysleeves.com. You know, Facebook. I'm on Facebook, Wayne Baker Brooks Music. Twitter. I really don't tweet, you know, too much, or twat, or whatever you call it.
It's strange, you know. I've been doing live sessions for 6 years now, but it's in this last 3 or 4 years, it's almost a given that at the end you're going to say, well, I'm on Facebook and I'm on Twitter and here's the website and everything else, you know, because you really have to be, don't you?
Yeah, you know, technology has opened up the doors to independent artists like myself to run my own company and do my own advertising and marketing on my website and Facebook, you know, is...
I mean, I think that's a joyous thing. I think it actually means that there are now thousands more musicians making a living, you know, not becoming ridiculously rich, but making a living, which they could never do before because there was somebody taking 10% here and 20% there and so on.
Yes. So, you know, that helps out a lot, you know, with gas money on the road. So.
You're going to get a shock when you come to Europe for gas money. You think gas is expensive in the States?
Yeah.
Gonna hurt here.
Yeah,
it's been so good to see you. Thank you so much for coming. What are you gonna finish with?
Thank you for having me, man, and thank you for keeping the blues alive, and thank all the listeners for listening to the blues and keeping the blues alive. And I just want to end it on Make It Easy, and you guys make it easy to keep doing these blues. So here we go.
You make it easy, baby. Yeah. to do the things that I need you to do. You make it easy, baby. 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 To fall in love with you, hey!